Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the Wild Game Domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Welcome back. Where to start? Today's show is, we're going to call it From the Field to the Freezer, but we'll get to that. Last week we had a survivalist on, so that was a little interesting. The week before we did the Second Amendment stuff. I think we've been getting, the show's been getting away from what we're really about. You know, we're about all those things. We're about constitutional freedoms. We're about being in the outdoors. We're about surviving. But, you know, the show was originally formed to promote the idea of getting wild game to the tables of Bushwick, Brooklyn. I got to be honest with you. I'm very depressed today. Very, very depressed. I'm stuck here in broken down Bushwick, which I love normally. But as you know, it is past October 1st. It is deer hunting season in New York State. The archery season opened October 1st. And really, I should be out there every single day hunting those whitetails. You know, work schedules, life, my rotten wife, all these things, my kids getting away. And last week, you know, we were looking at temperatures. It was like summer. You know, we were in the 80s, even upstate New York, Delaware County, where I hunted, upper 70s, lower 80s. Deer aren't moving. So I'm not too depressed. I'm getting out this week. As soon as the show's over at 11:30, I'm getting in my car, and I'm gonna put 50 hours in the tree stand the next couple of days, which really got me to thinking. You know, when we're talking about, you know, we've done plenty of shows where we've talked about you know, equipment needed. I talk about the $1,200 archery, you know, the bow you need, the arrows, the broadheads, the scent control, clothing, you know, all those thousands of dollars we spend on all the equipment. And I think as hunters, we forget, you know, some of the more basic little things we need when we go out into the field. I mean, the expectation, obviously, every time we get out in the field, is that we're going to harvest some kind of wild game. You know, this time of the year, it's whitetail for me. And sometimes we forget the little things, or we forget to prepare for the actual success of the hunt. What happens after I get that animal down? Have I thought that through? We've done a couple of shows for you new hunters out there, people trying to get into the hunt. And we really haven't covered, you know, what happens once we harvest that animal. That's really when the work starts, you know, sitting in the tree stand, getting to the tree stand, enjoying the outdoors, hunting is really the easy part. It's after that animal goes down. What's our responsibility, first of all, to make that meat or to keep that meat edible and process it so we can share it with our loved ones and you know, friends and loved ones. That's the point of it. As you know, that's my motivation at all times, hunting. I love to share meat. The new guy, Dedrick, working my show today. I want to bring him venison next week. When I come in on Tuesday, I want to be like, yeah, that's how the Wild Game Domain rolls. Here's a venison loin. Enjoy. That's what I love about it, promoting and sharing. But to do that, we have to take proper care of the animal. So, you know, let's paint the picture. It's the middle of October. We're starting to see the deer starting to move. Temperatures are dropping. You're sitting in your tree stand, slight breeze, it's about 42 degrees, and you hear the sound. Here comes the deer, right? Walks in. I don't care what it is. It's a tiny little doe. Let's not talk the story up too much. It's not a big 10-pointer. It's a tiny little doe. Nice, tender doe. And she walks. She stops broadside in front of your tree stand. Adrenaline's pumping. You stand up, draw back your bow, double check your aim, your yardage, your angle, release the arrow, double lung pass through, right through the deer. Deer jumps up, rears up, starts to run. That's when the real work begins. First of all, you gotta relax. You gotta sit back down. Don't jump out of your tree stand. Don't start throwing your gear around. Let that deer expire. Sounds a little callous, I guess. But what we want to do now is let that deer die peacefully. I've been in too many situations hunting where, in my mind, after the shot, it was the most perfect shot. Maybe it's my arrogance, but, you know, it was the perfect shot. Oh, man, what a perfect shot. This deer is down right on the other side of the trees, right? So I immediately start lowering my gear down, jump out of the tree, start following the blood trail, and what happens? All of a sudden, I get to a bed where the deer had been laying, and I look up, and there's the white tail about 50 yards in front of me, just jumping over the ridge line. Obviously, still alive, and my pressure, and by me getting out of my tree stand and getting on the trail of that deer, pushed the deer. Now it's made my job that much harder. First of all, I got a deer on the move, so the blood's going to be spread out on my trail. I gotta watch for these blood droplets. Where if you just sit down, right, even on the most perfect of shots, you want to wait an hour. You want to wait at least 1 hour. Just sit in your tree stand. Enjoy it. Relive the memory of the hunt. It just happened. Climb out of your tree stand. You go to the spot where the deer was shot, right? Find your arrow if the arrow's available. Like I said, this was in our fantasy hunt here. In our training hunt, we had a double lung pass through. So the arrow is stuck on the ground. First thing, inspect the arrow. What kind of blood do you have? You know, is it in a double lung, you're going to get a nice bright red. You should see bubbles. You're going to see, you know, the blood, the oxygen in the blood. And from there, the investigation begins. Okay, what direction did the deer run off in? And you're going to basically start blood trailing that deer. You're also going to see, you know, this deer, who obviously in distress, just had an arrow pass through it. You're going to see where he was running. You're going to see he was ripping up the ground. The leaves are turned over. They're, you know, it's a violent run when they're running for their lives. So, you know, in between blood droplets, you're also looking for that turned up earth, and you're just staying on the trail nice and easy. You remember to bring some form of marker with you. I use, the orange construction tape. I hang it in a tree so I could see it nice. And as you find blood, you want to mark that. Some people say biodegradable tissue works. Whatever works for you. You got to have some kind of system because, God forbid, at some point, we lose that blood trail. We want to be able to backtrack, get back on the blood trail, circle around, and see if we could pick it up again. So let's make a long story short here. Walk a few yards. I was right. For once in my life, it was the perfect shot. Double lung pass through. My deer is laying there. Always approach the deer. You know, sometimes we get very comfortable as hunters being out in the woods and you know how we approach wild animals. But you know, this is a deer that could be wounded. Maybe it's not completely dead yet, expired yet. You know, approach the deer, especially a buck, right? Big antlers, anything like that. Approach it slowly. Approach it from, you know, the backside of the deer. Walk in. Give it a little tap. Sometimes I'll use the edge of my bow or an arrow, and I'll just give it a little tap, make sure it's not moving. Now the real work begins. That was a perfect scenario. Sometimes, you know, I've been in situations where I've tracked deer for days, couldn't find it that day, back to camp, sleepless night, worried that I had wasted this hunt. I wasted this precious commodity, you know, this deer. It's laying out there rotting. Are the coyotes, you know, as you're laying in your camp that night and you hear the coyotes, and in the morning you start hearing the crows. Did I feed the other wild animals? You know, so there's a responsibility to you know, part of the harvest is obvious. Part of the hunt is actually harvesting this animal, not just shooting it. Right, we could do that in a video game. We want to get out there and recover the meat. So, you know, and this is where really proper handling of the animal, depending on temperature, depending on conditions, rain, environment, really is going to play a big factor in what we do. You know, often game meat is wasted because of this improper handling in the field. Nutritionally, we know game meat, you know, rates, you know, it rates better than domestic animals. It's definitely healthier source of nutrition if handled properly. Wild game is, you know, it's healthy, it's excellent, but we have a responsibility. You're not going to Stop and Shop to go buy this animal. It's a wild animal laying in the field. So, you know, you gotta treat this animal with respect. So we come up on the animal, the animal's dead, and now, you know, what's going through our mind? Well, first thing, I have to gut this animal. I have to take the guts out of this animal. And depending on your property, your setup, how you're doing it, that may happen at a different place. For me, 9 times out of 10 on my properties, it's happening wherever that deer went down. I'm gonna leave those guts in the field for the other animals, the field mice, you know, the coyotes, the crows, all the birds that are gonna feed off of this. Never mind enriching the soil and the whole process. So, you know, leaving the guts, the bears, the black bears, upstate New York, they love that, right? A rotted gut pile. So that's my first thought. As you're poking around that deer, as you're setting it up to gut the deer, now the inspection, we're our own FDA. We have to inspect this animal. What are our concerns? You know, what is the health of this animal? From 30 feet, from 20, 30 feet up in a tree stand, they all look healthy. And, you know, in our optimistic eye as hunters, we just sat in the tree stand for, you know, 3 days and hadn't seen a wild animal. All of a sudden, this deer comes along. Best case, you know, we were always looking at it as, wow, that's a healthy looking deer. But as you get up close, you start to notice these deer live a hard life. You're checking for ticks. We want to check the nasal cavity. We want to see if there's any worms. I've shot deer where they were just infested with worms. You know, all sorts of concerns have to happen on that initial, you know, have to be in mind on that initial inspection for the deer. And we're going to talk about that more after we take a short break. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Chad Pagano, host of the Wild Game Domain, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. All right, so proper handling of your wild game after the takedown. So, you know, I said inspection. You want to get this thing gutted. You want to get back to deer camp, and you want to celebrate. But we're inspecting this animal. One big thing, you know, and if you're a hunter or you're involved in the outdoors, a big problem now, and no, maybe it's not a big problem. It was a big problem a couple of years ago. It's on the decline, I believe, through the excellent work of the Department of Environmental Control here in New York State. You know, I'm not a big government supporter, libertarian, but Department of Environmental Control does an excellent job. We had a lot of concerns, and to a certain degree, we still do, of chronic wasting disease. You know, this is a disease which affects both deer and elk. You know, obviously, where I'm hunting here, we're talking about white-tailed deer. You know, chronic wasting disease is yet to transmit or transfer to a human being. But scientists believe it's completely possible that you could get chronic wasting disease by eating an affected animal. So, you know, what you're looking for, you know, during this inspection, chronic wasting disease, symptoms would include weight loss. Well, the deer is dead already, but you could see its weight. Can you see its ribs, or is it healthy? You know, October, November is when they're bulking up. They should be at their heaviest weight. They just spent all spring and summer feeding like beasts. They love it. You know, food is plentiful. Now it's October, November, still green leafy foliage for them to eat, and all the acorns are starting to fall. So now they're getting that fat and protein from the acorns. So this animal should be healthy. It should be heavy. It should have bulk on it. As you were watching it prior to shooting it, was it stumbling? Did it have a lack of coordination? Did it seem like it wasn't very alert? I've seen deer kind of walk in and I've made a bad move. Maybe I hit my tree stand and they just kind of look at you and blank stare at you. These are animals I try to pass up. Something's wrong with that animal. You know, so you gotta be, careful for these symptoms of chronic wasting disease. You know, again, we're not sure, or they're sure it can transfer. It hasn't happened yet. But, you know, you should take a few simple precautions when handling and transporting your deer at this point. First of all, you know, we just said do not shoot, handle, or consume wild animals that appear sick. So you just shot this deer, you go over to it, and there's this clear sign that this deer is sick for some reason. What are you going to do? Well, for me, I'm going to drag it out of my area. First of all, I don't want a dying, a decaying animal of that size anywhere near where I have to hunt. So the work begins by dragging it out of your area. And then you're simply, and this may sound a little callous, but you're going to leave it. You're going to leave it out there for the other animals that are quite capable of consuming this, you know, as opposed to a human. The second thing you're going to do is call the Department of Environmental Control. You're going to call your local guy, and you're going to know you're going to have all those numbers prior to going hunting as a responsible hunter. And you're going to report it to the DEC, and you're going to let them decide what to do. You're going to give them the symptoms or what you saw that made you leave that deer. And you're going to wait for him or set up an appointment for him to come to your field, come to your property, and either A, inspect that animal, or tell you, don't worry about it, it's fine, just leave it there. But that's the right thing to do. I've been in situations where guys have taken deer and you know, the DEC has made them use their tag on them. You hear these stories. They're few and far in between. The DEC doesn't want to take you out of the hunting season by using your tag on a unusable animal. So 9 times out of 10, if you did use your tag and then found out the deer was sick, they'll issue you a new tag. You know, you shouldn't fear the DEC. They're our friends out in the field. I stick by them 100%. They're not out there to hurt you. So anything like that, any kind of sickness in the animal could be painting a bigger picture of your property or that area of the state or county you're hunting in. And the DEC, you know, like any good police investigation will know, they've had other calls from hunters, and they could start putting together a picture of what's going on in that area. You know, and having said all that, chances of chronic, it is the most serious of all the diseases that the hunters have to deal with, but it's few and far in between. I really wouldn't worry about it too much. So what are some of the other things we have to worry about? One of the biggest problems or items I think hunters overlook is their knife. You know, they throw their knife in their bag and they go hunting for the whole season. That knife never comes open all year. Or I see my partner, he's at deer camp, and we got to get a can open, or we need something done. You know, we don't have a screwdriver. Hey, here's my gutting knife. And, you know, that knife's got to be dull. So you need a good, sharp hunting knife. I like to have a small hatchet. Don't forget your drag line. How are you getting this deer out, right? You got to get it back to camp. We got to get strung up in a tree. So I use, former military guy, you know me, always prepared. Got to have parachute cord, you know, paracord, green paracord, very strong, very light, very convenient. Keep it in your cargo pocket. You get your deer dressed, gut it out, and now you're dragging your deer out. You always got to check the weather. Don't forget the weather, right? Is it going to be hot? You'll probably have to skin your deer at that point to ensure that the deer stays cool. Early hunting season, early archery season in New York, you know, it always happens to us. I just told you last week, it was in the 80s. If I had harvested a deer, you can't leave a deer overnight, 24 hours in 80-degree weather, even at night when it cools down. You want to try to bring the temperature of that deer, the body temperature of that deer, as close, you know, down into the 40s as quickly as possible. And in hot weather, that means skinning the deer. So, you know, you need the tools to skin that deer. What I do is before I go, you know, right now in my freezer, I have soda bottles, liter bottles. You know, and I fill them with water and I freeze them solid and I bring them up in a cooler. So this way I know if I get a deer and the weather's not cooperating, I could stuff the carcass, you know, the inside of that deer with these frozen liter bottles, and that'll help bring the temperature of the deer down from the inside. Going to be really, really important, you know. And as a hunter, if you're listening, you're saying, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, you don't want to skin your deer. It dries out the deer. The meat will dry out. It's better to leave the skin on. Yes, when it's cold. Absolutely. Don't take the skin off. Let your butcher, or do that later when you're ready to butcher at a proper facility, your house, the garage, wherever you do it, right? That's when you want to skin it out and then start cutting the meat and processing the meat. But when hot weather, that skin, that layer of thin fat, you know, the silver skin and the hide of the animal is going to keep that animal, the meat, warm. And that's the worst thing for the animal in warm temperatures. I think we skipped over like field dressing, but, you know, field dressing, gutting your animal, to put it crudely, is important. You got to do it. You know, I just told you, be patient, wait in your tree stand an hour, but once that deer is recovered, once you're on it, get the guts out. I've been with plenty of young hunters, first time doing it. I remember back to my first deer. It's a hard thing. I still don't like doing it. It's the least favorite of the whole hunt, taking the guts out of an animal. They're warm. There's still nerve reactions. It's a disturbing thing to undertake. You know, once you've opened up that deer and you feel the warmth in there, you understand how quickly those guts should be taken out of the animal. You know, to go over that, you know, briefly here, you gotta go, you know, run your cut either from the chest plate back down to the anus of the deer, or vice versa. It's a personal thing. What I do is I prop my deer up, so it's belly up, legs up, between two rocks, right? We're hunting in the Catskills, plenty of rocks. So this way I have a stable animal to work off of. And I feel for the breastplate. I make a thin incision. I use a small 2-inch buck knife that I use, so I could just get the tip down under the skin of the animal. And I open up the skin first, and I'll go all the way down. You know, male deers tend to hurt me a little more when I'm working with them, because we have the same working parts down there. That's all got to be cut off and discarded. The anus has to be cut away at that point. You want to cut the anus away. You want to free up the intestines from the outside of the animal. So now when I start getting in, I'm going to slowly open this animal up, and I'm going to start working down the rib cage, right? Cutting away any connective tissue. So eventually, the only thing holding the guts of this animal intact, right, is basically the esophagus, the lungs, the upper portion of his body. So I could reach in with half of the guts hanging out of the animal, and I could go ahead and work through the esophagus, cut away the back of the lungs, and the gut pile will come out in one clean swoop. The sooner you dress the deer, and that's called dressing the deer, after the shooting, the better the meat will be. That's the bottom line. The sooner you do it, the better the meat will be. You know, that quick dressing is going to ensure, first of all, the rapid loss of body heat, and it's going to ferment. It's going to prevent fermentation. That fermentation, you know, if it happens in the animal, and it could start within hours of the animal going down, is gonna affect the quality and the safety, the food safety of that meat. So you have to stay on top of that. I personally, the glands on the deer, a lot of debate. I've read up on it a lot. I don't know what to believe. Deer, does in estrus, bucks going into their rut or their heat. It's all based on these glands. They have the glands on their back legs. I cut away all the legs at the kneecap. That's why I bring a little hatchet, and I'll take down the legs, drag my deer back to camp, and be happy. I always hang my deer. A lot of guys say you got to hang them upside down, you got to hang them this way. First of all, by hanging them, any excess blood, right, from the gutting job is going to drain out. You don't want to transport a deer with piles of blood in it. If available to me, and depending on which property I have that I'm hunting, I may or may not have running water. If I have running water, I'm gonna wash out the inside of that carcass with the running water. A lot of times at a remote deer camp, we don't have that luxury. We might only have 5 gallons of water, and it's for showering, it's for cooking. You know, we can't clean out our deer with it. In that case, I always bring one of those small bottles of bleach. I'll use a little bit of the water. I'll dilute the bleach, and I'll take some paper towels with me, and I'll just do a nice little wipe out of the inside of the deer. And then immediately you gotta get it to the, you have to get it to your butcher, or you have to get it to someplace where you can sanitize that deer and get it butchered. I suggest all hunters, I know you spend a lot of money, right? You spend a lot of money on your arrows, your bullets, your guns, your gear, your tree stands. One more thing you have to buy. You have to buy a vacuum sealer. The best thing to do is as you're processing that deer, you're making your cuts, whatever they may be, your loins, your back straps, your stakes, you're vacuum sealing each piece as you go. Me and my partner work together. I'll process a piece of meat. I'll take out a loin, throw it over to him. He'll inspect it, wipe it down, get excess blood off it, and then it immediately goes in the bag. We vacuum seal it, and we're working right next to our chest freezer, and it goes right into the freezer to make sure we've completely cooled down that meat. I hope I didn't depress everyone. I feel like I depressed everyone today, right? Talking about guts, killing people. The new guy, Dedrick, is like, oh, this guy's the worst. I'm not working with him.
No way.
You sure? You going to be a hunter now, Dedrick?
Yeah, let's do it.
I love it,
I'll
man.
I'll come with you, man. Let's go.
You're in.
All right.
You got to listen to my old shows where I tell you everything you got to do. A lot of red tape you got to cut through before you get out there. So don't let that be depressed. Don't let that be. I mean, it's work, but it's what we love, right? That's the point of it. And that's also, never mind, if you think, oh, I hate that part of it. Too bad. You took on a responsibility as an outdoorsman, as a hunter, to utilize what we harvest. You ever call this show or talk to me, run into me and tell me, oh, I shot a deer, I didn't want to eat it, I left it out there, I don't know, it's disgusting. Don't come to the wild game domain with that. It's about, if you shoot it, you're going to eat it. That's the bottom line. And you know from listening to my shows, I've had coyote. I don't even like it, but I force myself to eat it. There's a discipline for good hunters that has to be there. So it may not be the most romantic part of the hunt, but it's really the most important part of the hunt. You want to share this meat, this harvest, with your friends and loved ones, and you want to do it confidently, with confidence that you're not going to kill them, right? Make them sick. You want to share it with your family, and you want to be sure that this meat has been handled properly. Wow, my timing's pretty good. I fake my way through this pretty good once in a while. Well, that's all the time we have. I'd like to thank Dedrick for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from The Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Also, do me a favor, check out our website. It's not completely up and running. I know I've been saying that for a while, but check it out anyhow. We got some stuff up there. Wildgamedomain.com. We air live every Tuesday at 11 o'clock. You could always call in. No one's ever called me. Someone, I dare you, call me. 718-497-2128. I'll talk to you next week. And don't forget, if you kill it, you better eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.